fighting for America.
You've got tremendous love for this country, Kevin, and the people of Idaho. And anybody that has had a chance to be able to get to know you, even just listening to you on the radio, knows you got a heart of gold, man. And we all appreciate it.
Fighting for Idaho.
Hey, thanks again, Kevin, and thanks, Cadio. You know, we appreciate you and the community, obviously. Appreciate you guys all the time. I'm just another one.
Fighting for you.
Everybody isn't Kevin Miller, and I'm not just saying this. I've said this behind your back. You are one of the best in the entire country. I know that for a fact. But you are an exception, sadly, a big exception to what our industry has become.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award, Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, good morning. Thank you all for joining us. 7:05. Currently, it is 69 in Meridian. Don't forget East Junior High School. We're coming. You know, Big and Rich were in town. They had that big song, Coming to Your City. Well, we're coming to your school tomorrow. Hey, that's an idea. Who do we have on staff that has a band? I don't know if Liberal Steve can carry a tune.
Forget the
I don't know if Tea Party Bob can carry a tune. We'll have to find out. Joined now by our great friend Emily Wither, Fox News Radio, live from Jerusalem at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Emily.
Hi, good morning. Are you going to ask me to be in the band as well?
I would love for you to be in the band. Are you familiar with the song Coming to Your City? Big and Rich?
No.
Well, you'd have to learn the song.
I'm sure I could learn it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure I could learn the song. I could make an attempt to learn the song.
Do you like country music?
I don't know very much country music. It's not really a style of music that you exposed to very much over here. Let's just put it that way.
That would be in the Middle East or in Europe?
In the Middle East, but in Europe too. I mean, there is some country music, but it's definitely not as widespread or as popular as it is in the States.
Well, that's the problem over there. They need some more cowboys.
Yep. That would definitely achieve peace in the Middle East, I think.
Boy, Emily, I don't know what to make of the Syrian rebels. We've got the Free Syrian Army. We know Assad's a thug. We were just talking about it before we went live to you. We've got ISIS. We've got all these other groups. How do you make sure you're arming the good guys? I'm sure that's a concern for a lot of Western governments.
Yes, it most certainly is. And I think some of the arguments that we hear is that the opposition on the ground, I'm not talking about the political opposition, but the fighters on the ground, are pretty well known by this stage because the civil war has been raging there for over 3 years. And so there's been plenty of time to gather intelligence about the different groups who are fighting inside Syria. The problem is, though, is that the situation is changing so quickly. Different territories are captured, then recaptured. People change their alliances. And some of the moderate rebels on the ground complain that fighters leave them simply because they might like the fact that ISIS and these extremist groups have such great success on the battlefield, so they might switch allegiance because of that. But in some cases, I've heard rebels complain that it's for economical reasons, because the moderate rebels in the Free Syrian Army, it doesn't actually pay that well. And if you join these more extremist groups or if you join ISIS, then your salary is going to shoot up by a couple hundred dollars a month. So this is what I've heard some rebels say when it comes to who they're going to fight with, which paints a very complicated picture on the ground. We know that Saudi Arabia is part of this train and equip plan that the president is pushing when it comes to moderate Syrian rebels. They have offered to help train some of them. The details are still being worked out, though, including how long it would take to even vet the fighters to make sure they are the right people, and also how much it's going to cost. We heard from Pentagon officials, and they said they thought more than 5,000 Syrian fighters were expected to be trained at this center in Saudi Arabia in the first year, but the center could hold up to 10,000 fighters. We don't really have much more detail other than that at the moment. I've also heard some opposition complain that training is just not enough. And what's the point in training 5,000 fighters when there are estimates of over more than 30,000 fighters that are allied with this Islamic State group?
Emily, let's say the Free Syrian Army, ISIS, whomever, is successful in overthrowing Assad. And as you've detailed in your reporting for us here at 580KIDO over the years, Assad is brutal. He brutalizes his people. You know, what would be the plan to replace? What type of government would replace it? I mean, we see the issue in Iraq, where that government that was put in is unstable? Would we see more of the same as we've seen in Libya, Egypt, in Syria?
Well, that is a very big concern, which is why, if you listen, that the debate has very much moved away from toppling the Assad regime, and it's focusing on trying to defeat ISIS. While no one really supports President Assad internationally, apart from a couple of his allies, such as Russia and Iran, everyone's a little bit afraid of what would come after President Assad, because the answer is no one really knows at the moment. There isn't an opposition in waiting that's based in Turkey, but they have been criticized for infighting, for not being organized enough, and for not really being in a position to even take over the reins of power inside Syria. And I was actually speaking to a Syrian opposition member earlier today. He is based in Turkey. He was part of that opposition coalition, and he left saying that it wasn't organized enough, everyone wants to achieve different things, and that it didn't actually speak for the Syrian people. Now, this is just an opinion of one opposition member, but we've heard countless reports of not a very united front when it comes to the opposition. So that raises a concern that there isn't a strong enough government in waiting that the West supports to replace the Assad regime. So if Assad did fall, it runs the risk of some kind of power vacuum being created that these extremist groups like ISIS might try and take advantage of, which would be a nightmare to the international community. So I think the Israelis sum it up quite well. If you speak to officials here, they don't like the Assad regime, but they also don't like what could come after. So that they're pretty stuck on who they think that they should be supporting in this situation.
I think the final thought here is how active the American forces, our forces, will be on the ground there. Obviously, the airstrikes are going on. It's kind of unusual when you have the U.S. government saying to Syria, don't shoot down our planes in their own airspace without coordinating with the Syrian government. It's very confusing.
It is definitely confusing, and it certainly poses a little bit of a risk, because Syria has asked the U.S. Syria has asked the U.S. that they request permission if they carry out airstrikes inside Syria, and it doesn't appear as if the U.S. administration is going to do that, because they don't want to be seen with working with the regime. They don't want the regime to be there. They certainly don't want to cooperate with it now. We have to assume, though, that these airstrikes are actually going to indirectly help President Assad. President Assad is battling ISIS, other extremist groups, and moderate rebel groups. And the Assad regime will want to reclaim some of the territory that ISIS is holding. So these airstrikes will indirectly help the government to try and recapture some of these areas. So it will be in their favor. Of course, they have released a number of threats and they've asked for permission. That's not unexpected. But I don't think it's believed that they would want to start shooting down U.S. aircraft. That would obviously cause them to be in the firing line in a situation that could actually help them in the long run.
Emily Wither, Google it, coming to your city, big and rich. We're expecting that the next time we talk to you.
Okay, I will. I will start swatting up and practicing.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Emily Wither joining us exclusively from the Middle East. Kevin Miller here at 580-KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Do you believe it's time for boots on the ground? Our other big story, what to do about the NFL? And we'll eventually dovetail into what to do about Adrian Peterson and child abuse. Joining us now, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, the Facebook champion of this program. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Well, do I have an issue to pick with you today? Great job with the Marconi Award, but what's this business about the media market? Don't these people, these liberals and the NAB, know that we go out and reach people in CUNA? We go to Emmett? I was driving all the way to Rigby yesterday, and I got your program all the way in Wendell, Idaho. What's this medium market stuff?
Well, everybody has to start somewhere, number one. And don't forget Wilder as well. Love Wilder.
There
we're
you
big
go.
At Wilder. Yes.
Absolutely. So, anyway, congratulations on winning this great award. There's nobody here that I know that's more worthy of it than you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. And, again, it's a reflection as we write about. By the way, you can check out a great blog at KIDOAM.com or 580KIDO.com. It's, you know, basically it's how we won the Marconi, and it's everyone's award. because this is a community effort. And we see that with the rescue mission, the Canyon County Animal Shelter, with our gun issues and everything else. So props to everybody for that. Now,
I'm glad you said that, because just like they do with the Stanley Cup, allowing the players to take the cup from
yes.
place to place, you ought to be giving that to Patriot Ray, to Liberty Linda, to
Tea
Liberal
Party Bob.
Steve. There you go, Tea Party Bob. I mean, let them sleep with this.
You know, I've thought about that, and I will tell you this. If you are a business owner, and if you want to, and here's a plug for this program, we should have a five-year Kevin Miller anniversary party, number one, and number two, a Marconi celebration party. You would get 50 to 100 people in the morning. You know, we need a business to host this. Maybe the Morton Law offices, we could have it there.
I think we have a closet big enough for that.
Yeah, you know, like whether it's our friends at Chick-fil-A or wherever else, I could see that you could have people posing with the Marconi, and they could be put on the website.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's an idea.
Maybe. And if people are interested in having us somewhere, we would love to just contact me, and we'll make it happen. Joining us now, Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, Munns Tom Twitter at 580KIDO.
Well, if I could talk to my wife about it, we'd have it here.
In Tom Munns'
house.
Good
morning, Kevin. Good morning. Congratulations on your macaroni award.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
You know, I was I wanted to talk about this ISIS, this imaginary enemy, and Obama.
Now wait a minute, you're saying that ISIS is imaginary?
Yeah, think about this for a second, though. I mean, we play romper room and all of this weird shenanigans. Now we arm Syrian rebels, and then we're going to go against them, and then we arm ISIS. We've already been known on record for arming and training these people. So we play this, like, what do you call it when you all sit in a circle? Duck, duck, goose or whatever, and everybody, one day they're the enemy and
duck,
the other day
duck,
they're not.
Duck, duck, goose? You're talking foreign policy to duck, duck, goose?
Pretty much. So I guess what I'm talking about is the constitutional understanding. Obama talked about ISIS 2 weeks ago or a month ago, didn't even have a plan. Now all of a sudden we're bombing them already. You know, anybody in the world that understands how this nation's supposed to work understands there has to be a declaration of war by Congress. It doesn't involve the UN. It doesn't involve anybody else. It involves our own nation, our own national sovereignty, a declaration of war in the common defense of this nation. We have not been attacked.
Now hold on here. Let me hit you with this, Tom, because I want you to listen to this and then please respond here at 580KIDO.
Your evil alliance with America, which continues to strike the Muslims of Iraq and most recently bombed the Haditha Dam, will only accelerate your destruction.
You're saying that's made up.
Oh, who's to say that it isn't? And, Kevin, what I'm saying here is, look.
They chop people's heads off.
Think of this for a second, okay? Look.
No, wait a minute. They chop people's heads off.
Where are you getting your information from is my first thing. And second of all is how do you define this? We have to be very careful about this. We can't get our emotions involved in this thing. We have to understand, number one, we have to understand the credibility of where this came from. Number two, we have to understand what do we expect when we go into these countries and we spend years and years and years in these places telling them that they need to be telling them what form of government would be. It would be like China coming here telling us, well, you need to be a socialist republic. Where do we get the authority in our long-standing entanglements to be able to tell other countries what form of government they're supposed to have?
All right, let's go.
It defies absolute logic to me.
All right, we'll go to Mr. Logic, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law.
Let me help you translate what he's trying to say here. He's saying that this is, in lawyer terms, alleged acts of beheadings. What we're seeing on the Internet with people losing their heads isn't really happening. Is that what you're saying, Tom?
The first part of what you're saying is right. I'm not saying that it isn't. I'm saying that these are alleged.
And alleged? The guy's missing his head.
This country is running on fear.
The guy's missing his head. How is that alleged?
How do you know it wasn't made up?
Because he's dead.
My point is this, Kevin. This is about America's involvement in being the world's police. Don't get caught on the fact that it's a beheading. It's not an attack on this nation.
So you want to wait until another 9/11 occurs before we get involved. Is that what you're saying?
No, I want people to pay attention to the Constitution, and if they're going to swear an oath to it and swear that this is our form of government, that we better start understanding what it means. It doesn't mean that we act in fear, all scared. This country has got its tail between its legs. We're running, scrambling around, doing what everybody else wants. We want the United Nations and the resolutions and listening to McCain and all this kind of stuff. That's not the way the Constitution works.
All right, Tom, thank you.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hi, KIDO. We are joined by Alan L. Morton, attorney at law with us. Kevin Miller in the morning. And Mr. Morton, good to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Kevin.
And you had a chance to do some legal research last night concerning what is and what isn't child abuse in Idaho.
Well, in Idaho, we're governed by both state and federal standards. And there's been a lot of discussion all over the internet and various blogs and chat rooms dealing with what was appropriate or what is appropriate in the disciplining of one's child. Idaho has very clear directives on what constitutes child abuse and neglect. And one thing that you may not be aware, the duties that we all have with respect to reporting acts of child abuse and neglect. Each one of us in Idaho have a mandatory reporting requirement under the Idaho Code to report acts of child abuse, abandonment, or neglect if suspected. And if we don't, we can be charged.
So you're saying, I know that when I was trained as a teacher, educators have a responsibility. They don't have a choice. So you're saying here in the state of Idaho that if we suspect abuse, neglect, anything going on with kids, we have a duty to do this. Otherwise, we can be charged?
That's correct. Everyone. Doctors, lawyers.
But regular everyone. Citizens, too?
Regular citizens. Everybody. The report has to be made if we see evidences of physical abuse or neglect of a child. And those signs of physical abuse are basically any marks or injuries to a child when there's no reasonable explanation, a pattern perhaps of repeated injuries, and or disclosure by the child that he or she was hurt by an adult. You know, signs of neglect also include living conditions that are health or safety hazardous, a child that has nothing to eat or appears to be hungry and underweight, and also a child that has been left at home alone.
Well, you know, that's good to know. Let's go to the phones. Linda and Emmett joins us now at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin. With this business with the NFL, and the more it goes on, the more I'm inclined to go along with what Boomer Esiason has said, you know, that they should be not playing until this stuff is adjudicated in the court of law. And I agree with him. I don't think Adrian Peterson should play this next week. I think until this child abuse case is taken into the courts and he has been found innocent or guilty by a group of his peers, he shouldn't play. All they're doing is, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod. Yeah, we know what happened, but come on back in because you're one of...
You got to go. Can't say that word on the air. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, you know that. You know, is this... do you buy Adrian Peterson's defense?
Well, I don't. We've heard of repeated incidents of...
And is defense being for people not understanding it? That this happened to him as a kid, this is the only discipline he knows.
And also, it's a realm of culture where he grew up, that this is how adults treat their kids. You know, if they're online, you give them a butt whooping.
Now, you're either going to have to put your headphones on or take them off because we're getting feedback.
Here we go. How's that?
Thank you very much. This is why we're the medium market, because we're so informal here at 580KIDO. So you're not buying his defense. Hey, it's how I was treated. Charles Barkley saying that's how it's done down there. That's not a legitimate defense.
You know, growing up, and I remember my first year of college, we talked about in the child development classes that we were required to take. It was good, easy credit for athletes to take. And
is that like basket weaving?
Pretty much. But it was interesting. A professor asked the question first day of class. First question he asked, he said, how many of you have ever been the subject of corporal punishment. And he said, for those of you who may be athletics or involved in athletics, let me explain that. How many of you have ever been spanked? And, of course, I think almost the entire class raised their hands. And he said, in this class, we're going to talk about alternatives to spanking and raising a family and getting what you want, you know, from your children. And I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, because I was raised at a time where spanking was normal with respect to switches of the type and kind that you saw with Adrian Peterson. And I do understand what he's saying as far as the culture down there and also of the time. But, you know, you have to grow up. You grow beyond it. You know, those type of things are totally inappropriate today.
Any type of corporal punishment?
Well, when you're showing marks or injuries to a child of the type and kind that are involved in this case, yeah, the health and welfare is going to step in. And we're required to report that. And under the federal standards, an act of abuse is defined as any recent act or failure to act on the part of a parent or caretaker which results in death, serious physical or emotional harm, sexual abuse or exploitation, or an act or failure to act which presents an imminent risk of serious harm. And it's one thing to spank a child, but when you're ripping the flesh, you know, so to speak, these are elements that's considered the child is in imminent risk of serious harm. And in the state of Idaho, if this happens, you're going to see officers taking charge of these children and the Department of Health and Welfare coming in with their social workers and removing the children from the home.
Right, but we get back to the point, 19 states still allow corporal punishment in schools. When is it discipline? When is it abuse? Alan L. Morton, Kevin Miller, attorney at law. Kevin Miller, not attorney at law. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. We'll talk next about this. We'll take your phone calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Which camp are you in, the Boomer Esiason camp or the Charles Barkley camp? Let's quickly take a listen.
I'll tell you what. You want to know what the best next step is? That guy should never be on the field again. And I don't want to hear about how he grew up, what he learned. This was a whipping of a four-year-old boy, for God's sake. And all I'm telling you right now, that is sickness to me. And
I'm from the South. Whipping is, we do that all the time. Every black parent in the South is going to be in jail under those circumstances.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning from East Junior High School, promoting our school, securing our future, courtesy of our friends at CapEd. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Kevin. Oh, there we go. Got to turn the right mic on. How are you?
Not bad. It took me a while to find this place. It was an interesting journey this morning, so thank you for guiding me in.
Not a problem. Just a little bit up the road from the Shakespeare Festival out there at, what is it, Harris Ranch?
Yeah, apparently there are a bunch of warm springs.
Yeah, after they redid the road out there, it does. You know, you kind of wander around. There's some different areas, ways around there. If you have not been out that direction in a while, it is a little different.
Yeah, it's always funny in the morning. Boy, there's some buzzing going on. I don't know if you hear that.
I do hear that. It's like there's a big fly buzzing around you out there. The flies are bad this time of year. There it goes. Now it's gone.
Yeah. Maybe it was the NSA just warming up the old transmitter.
They're just firing up the, you know,
boy, speaking of fired up, this Adrian Peterson thing, he's going to play, now he's not going to play, and Hannah Storm, you know, this has been a theme for us for the past couple weeks. You know, usually we talk about the news, ISIS, ISIL, and everything else, but what is going on with the sports media, and could we see the end of the NFL?
No, you're not going to see the end of the NFL, but, you know, it's just pointing out some guys to, you know, to be thugs. It's as simple as that. And, you know, what are you going to say? It's interesting the different approach between Ray Rice slugging his girlfriend in the face, which is unacceptable as well, and then the whipping of a four-year-old boy. I mean, the girlfriend, I guess she had a choice to stay with that guy. The kid had no choice.
Right. Well, then they sit back and they talk about that. They keep blaming the media for this. Oh, it's all the media's fault. And I'm thinking to myself, really? Is it the media's fault that covers the story that actually, you know, gets some accountability here?
Well, the media likes to whip it up and make it into a bigger thing because, you know, if it leads, it bleeds. So if it bleeds, it leads, and let's make it as big a deal as we can. But it does underlie, and the media has helped to point out, a cover-up of a very bad situation of people doing bad things and them getting covered up.
Yeah, it does make you wonder. But Adrian Peterson, and again, speculation. I was looking for this last night. I wrote at 580KIDO, you know, is it discipline? Is it abuse? Put some of my own experiences in that we shared yesterday. But I was trying to find out just how many kids he's had with how many different young ladies.
Good luck.
Yeah. And since I couldn't really confirm that, you know, it's not as if we're talking about the family unit that most of us grew up with, or, you know, here's a guy that allegedly has fathered 5 or 6 or 7 kids out of wedlock with a, you know, a plethora of women.
Yeah, you know, and again, showing, yeah, according to my antiquated values that I live by, that's just not good. That's not good. Here's an idea. Keep it put away, pal, and quit having kids with women all over the country. But that's my antiquated values.
Well, it is, but, you know, you come back to just the physical evidence that we've seen. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and truthfully, it happens every day all across our country. I mean,
right.
And there comes that point where, to me, and again, in my antiquated way, and we talked about this off the air yesterday, I grew up in a house where my dad made me go pick the switch off the tree, and I got more than my share of lickings, and probably deserved them too, by the way, just for being a little snot. But there comes a point where when is it corporal punishment, and when does it become abuse? And there is a line that is crossed.
Well, and people are debating that instead of talking about their fantasy leagues. And I just wonder if it's going to hurt ESPN. And really, they seem, you know, the ESPN, if you've ever tried to work there, and I haven't, but I've looked at their diversity page, they are committed to being diverse and politically correct. I don't know how they balance that with having Ray Lewis and at one time Michael Irvin and other folks that have had some questionable backgrounds. On one hand, you have the uber feminist. And on the other hand, you have people that have been in trouble with the law, bragging about their own situations. You have Reggie Bush coming out and saying, I'm defending Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, you know, and to a degree, Charles Barkley did the same thing, saying, you know, that happens. It's Southern culture. It happens all the time. And maybe it is. I mean, I was raised by a dad from Oklahoma, a mom from Arkansas, and, you know, the whooping, it happened in my family. But at what point does it cross the line to where you're hurting a kid?
Right, right.
So, and then, you know, as far as the NFL and talking about the NFL, another story that is getting no run at all, but amazing to me, the NFL RG3, who got hurt in the game on Sunday, went to hold a press conference, and the NFL told him, take that T-shirt off. You're not going to do the press conference in that T-shirt. And the T-shirt had reference to Jesus. No Jesus,
yeah.
No peace. Reportedly, NFL said, no, don't wear that to the press conference.
And if you'd like that story, that's available on the Kevin Miller Hot List. Up now, Eva Mendez. Never mind RG3 and Jesus. We've got Eva Mendez having Ryan Gosling's baby as the big story trending worldwide. And here comes that buzz again. I don't know what the issue is. But I guess we'll just continue to go with this. So you've got I wonder if they would have given equal time if RG3 would have had Buddha or Muhammad or something like that, if they would have banned his shirt.
Yeah, I don't know. They made him turn the T-shirt inside out. And so he wound up doing, if you look in you look at the press conference, you can still kind of see the writing, but, you know, it's turned inside out. And so the shirt just simply said, no Jesus, and it said no was in white letters, and the letters K and W, as in to know, was in black letters. But it says no Jesus, no peace.
Right.
And kind of a clever shirt, I thought. But, yeah, the NFL, although they, you know, they try to cover up Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson, but don't you wear that Jesus shirt, guy. What are you thinking?
Right, right. Separation of church and game, I suppose.
Yeah. And then you come down to the whole Washington, you know, American Indian team. That whole issue. The NFL has a bag full of problems this year.
It does, and people are talking about Roger Goodell leaving, Condoleezza Rice replacing him. And I, you know, this whole condemned culture that we have is darn right alarming when you think about, okay, the accusations that Goodell covered this video up. There's no evidence of that. And then already people calling for him to get the boot. This is, we're living in troubled times. Now the NFL hiring four females. Now, when you just hire the four best people instead of four people based on their gender, and maybe they are the four best people, but to me, all of a sudden, it seems as if Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Nancy Pelosi are going to be running the NFL.
Well, yeah, and again, I don't trust that group in Washington to run anything, but that's just me.
Well, that's one major story. As we talked a little bit about yesterday, boots on the ground against Ebola, not so much for ISIS or ISIL or what have you. You know, which is the bigger threat?
Well, it just, by again, and I mentioned it yesterday, it bothers me that you're going to take 3,000 troops and send them in where there is a virus that is a deadly virus, and then bring them back home and assume that that virus then will not be in the United States.
Right.
You know, so where's the responsibility that, you know, I have no issues with support, taking the medicine, the knowledge, those who want to volunteer to go, if they're doctors or whatever, but to take our troops and send them into a deadly situation, that just bothers me.
Well, the troops, the border, you know, it's...
the border, that's still going on?
Yeah.
Oh. Huh.
You know, one time we talked about going down to the border, and you just wonder what is really happening that's not being reported. And then you have people that, you know, they don't want to know. They have concerns. They believe that, you know, the president and everyone else has said that it stopped. You know, the school year starting, you have to wonder where these kids are. And I don't think the president has released that.
Well, what you might do, and again, at the risk of sounding like Alex Jones, you might find, you might follow some of the enduroviruses, the Honduran flus, the different diseases that are, you know, spreading around the country all of a sudden. You might follow those and see if you can find them.
Right.
There's that possibility.
Well, at 580KIDO, I think we are living in very different times where it's, and this term has been used quite so for a long time, information overload, but you have ISIS, you have ISIL, you have Ebola, you have the border, you have the Ukraine, you have China up to their shenanigans. There's a lot going on. And never mind the domestic stuff. And how much stuff can you handle in this age of Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, 24/7 television, news, radio? We could go on and on.
Yes.
And so people just kind of go, oh, yeah, it's normal for the guy to dress up in his pajamas and kill people. I mean, we had people on this program and people hitting me up on Facebook not believing that the ISIS video is real, that it's a big conspiracy designed to get us back into the Middle East. And you talk to people on and off the record, they say, oh, we're going back. We're going back. And how would you like to be some of these folks, whether you're a sergeant first class, a specialist, or even a colonel, and you just get back? The military has been given the short shift because of the budget cuts, and now all of a sudden you might be going back into the land of the bad.
It would be difficult because even the people who live there, the people in Iraq, the people you know who live there, that I feel bad for those who live there who just want to eke out a living and live a life, which there is a great many people there. We went in, we came out, we didn't get rid of Saddam Hussein. He then turned around and tortured some of these people that showed support for the U.S. We go in, we come out again, those people again, if they're still alive, being tortured again because we went in and we went out. Make up your mind. What do you, you know, do you want to go in and be an influencer, or what exactly is your mission?
Well, that indeed our mission today, of course, thanks to CapEd Credit Union, supporting our schools, promoting our future at East Junior High School. And we'll be talking to teachers, we'll be talking to students, and of course parents as well. And, you know, the big news in education, we really haven't talked about it, is the state school superintendent's race, where you have allegations and, I believe, confirmation that one candidate plagiarized the other's website.
Yeah, that you have the, there is a lot of controversy, and it is, you know, one of the biggest. You got the governor's race, which obviously is very big, but the superintendent of public education, that position is one that will influence a lot of families in this state. So that is a huge race.
Now, if you get if you get caught plagiarizing in school, you get the boot.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's called copying. That's bad.
Right. So, I mean, look at poor little Vaughn Ward. Remember what happened to him?
Yep, he got run.
He got Lucas'd.
Yeah, he got run. But I got to do this, Kevin. I got to run to traffic because I have another issue going on that I'm dealing with here as well this morning. So let me do this as you continue out at East
Jones, weekday evenings at 7. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO. Good morning to our friend Eric Macrush, listening in Naples, Florida. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. From East Junior High School, we continue on. Coming up, we'll be promoting our schools, securing our future, promoting our schools. You know it. We do it every week as we make sure that we take a look behind the scenes of what's going on at your local school. In addition to that, you heard this story coming out of, I don't know what, some insurance place, that Idaho drivers are the worst in the world. Do you believe that? Or at least the worst in the nation? Well, defend the riders, the drivers here in Idaho. Let's get you to work safely and on time at 580. Keep it here. Fox News is next. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Judy Emmett.